If you are able, will you please stand and join with me in the call to worship? Everyone who thirsts comes to the waters, seek the Lord. All who are hungry for righteousness come to the waters, seek the Lord. All who need the help of God come to the waters, seek the Lord. Remain standing for our praise songs. Great is thy faithfulness, and come thou fount of every blessing.
Number 400, come thou font of every blessing.
Safely to us.
be seated. Please bow in prayer with me. Your glory and power, O God, surround us in this sanctuary. We lift up our hands and call on your name. We are your people, thirsty for the living water you alone can give. When we consider how you have helped us, giving us a spring that gushes up to eternal life, we cling to you, singing praises with joyful lips. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now will you join with me in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And we'll just stand for the doxology. So we have the offering plates here at the front as well as at the back on the welcome desk that you're welcome to contribute any time during or after the service. Okay, but we'll stand for the doxology. We'll bless us.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him.
Father, we bless this congregation and we bless the offering. May we continue to be the church in the needs of meeting the needs of those within our community and those around us. May we bless those that are in need of just health concerns, those that are shut-ins, those that are going to be at home for the next several weeks. Lord, we just need your help right now. We need to not feel lonely. We need to not feel isolated. And we just ask that you be with us. Bless us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to you this day. Lord, we ask that you just bless us again. And may the words from my mouth be pleasing unto you, O God, and the meditation from my heart. In the sight of you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, how many of you, when you were kids, hoped to be rich when you grow up? Right? We did. Anybody think it would be great to be rich? Yes, right? Oh, gosh. I mean, I did. I thought if I was going to be rich, it meant that I was going to have a swimming pool in my backyard, maybe a tennis court, I don't know, something like that, but that we'd have another house that we'd go to on vacation, and I don't know, I thought that, but of course that's what I thought it meant to be rich. that I worked really hard in my life, and eventually I had the house with the pool and the summer home that we'd go to. But the odd thing was, I never felt that I was rich. Pastor Andy Stanley, some of you may know his father, did a series a number of years ago called Being Rich in What Matters Most. And I honestly think that it's important to give a sermon once a year at least to remind us that where our hearts need to be, that we need to be rich in what matters most. And as I prepared this, I didn't really think about coronavirus or any of those kind of things going on, but it just, when I prepared these sermons series, I do them so far in advance. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that right now in our world, the thing that matters most is what? And that's the big question, what really matters most? So I do want to give a disclaimer. This is not any kind of prosperity gospel type of a sermon. I believe that God blesses us in everything that we have and in all that we do. And it's not something that if you pray to God, you're going to get money, that God's going to give you money. I just believe that we live in a society where our relationship with God is important. And we know that as far back as 1864, they put on the 2-cent coin, "In God We Trust." And then in our history, in 1956, the American currency, they put the words on our currency, "In God We Trust." And then in 2006, "In God We Trust" became the motto of the state of Florida. Yet we don't really find that phrase in Scripture, unless, of course, you look at Psalm 91, verse 2. It says this, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust." Yes, I will trust in God for all the blessings that I have. Today, I'm thankful that I feel healthy. And so I'm going to use that as my blessing for this morning. And I'm sure some of you feel the same way. But you know, when it comes to money, the real problem is that nobody really knows where the rich line begins and where it ends. And so I have to wonder, have I ever crossed that rich line? Am I really rich? Am I blessed with more than I need? But am I rich in what matters most? So I want us to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. The Apostle Paul is giving some advice to young Timothy. And Timothy asks, "How do you help people who are rich at being rich?" And this is what Paul says. "As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty," I like that, "or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God who richly provides us with everything. Everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The life that really is life." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So let's break that scripture down, shall we? It says, command those who are rich in the present world not to be what? It says haughty, yes. Tell the rich people not to be haughty or arrogant. And why? It's because we're not to put our hope in wealth, so which is to them unclean. But where should we put it? Scripture tells us we should put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I love that. So you may work hard and you may have be faithful and you have lived beneath your means. You've invested well and you have kept a good budget or whatever. You have free will and you made good choices. But ultimately, every single thing that you have is a gift from God. Your talent, your ability, your mind, your life, your health, the air that you breathe, Every blessing you have comes from God. So verse 18 commands the rich people to what? It says command them to do good, to be rich. How? To be rich in good deeds. And to be what? And to be generous. Generous and willing to share. You know, it's interesting. I've looked at history, and there was a point in time when there were plagues that were infecting the entire world. And it was always the Christians who had such certainty as to where they were going and the eternal life that they were going to have that were always there ready to serve and to help those around them. They were never afraid of maybe catching something for the sense that they were the ones that knew without a shadow of a doubt where they were going and why they were doing what they're doing. So I look around at us today and I think, we're strong in our faith because we have to have a faith and believe that this epidemic, this pandemic that's happening right now in our world isn't going to take every single life. And we pray that God is going to be with each and every one of us as we go out and we do what He's asking us to do, and that's to serve others. Of course we need to be cautious, and of course we need to take precautions. But this is what people do every single day that work in hospitals, that work in the field. I mean, they do it every single day. And so should we. You know, a moment ago I used the word rich quite a bit. And I thought, well, maybe I should define what rich actually means. So I wanted to wrap my head around what that word is. And I looked at some Gallup poll that asked the same thing to different people that were at different salary levels. There was a group of people who earned $30,000 a year, and they responded, if I made $74,000 a year, I'd be rich. And then they asked those who earned $50,000 a year, and their response was, if I made $100,000 a year, then I'd be rich. Now, I know that there are some of you who are in different income ranges, and maybe those are one of yours, but I've got news for you. When you have kids that drive and private school or dance classes or sports, and you're sending your kids to camp, or you have to get braces or college, or there's a wedding in the future or a grandchild on the way, you're not feeling very rich, are you? I get it. It's hard. But I found it very interesting that those people who made over $200,000 a year thought that in order for them to be rich, they had to have $5 million. Of course $5 million is rich, right? But as you can see, this line of what rich is just keeps changing all the time. I know this very well. I remember my first job right out of college. I was making $18,000 a year, and I thought if I could just make twice that, $36,000, you know, I would be rich. And then I realized that I had to pay back student loans, and then I had to have health insurance. And oh yeah, then my son decided to go to college. My rich line moved and it changed. So you see, the challenge is that most of us don't ever feel rich. And then one day we're actually rich, we've passed that line, and then we don't feel it anymore. Because maybe we never really do feel that we're rich in what matters most. But God teaches us how to be good at being rich. So here's some good news. Are you ready for some good news? You're rich. You are. You really are. You live in the United States of America. And that means you're rich in a lot of ways compared to the rest of the world. You are rich because you have rich people opportunities. So I want to explain. You see, you have children or grandchildren that can go to a library and pick out a book. You can expose them to exotic animals in the zoo. You can have their teeth straightened. You can get your teeth whitened. Or you can get a whole new set of teeth if you'd like. If you can't hear, you can get devices for that. If you want to save time and you want to save money, you can go through a car wash, or you can have someone mow your lawn for you, clean your home. If you can afford to go out to lunch or dinner and invest in other people and their time with you, you're rich. And in most of you, if you have enough money to help someone else who's in need, then you're rich. You have rich people opportunities, and that's incredibly good news. In fact, when you recognize that this is a gift and a blessing from God, it changes your heart. It changes your stature and the way you walk and the way you talk to the point that you're capable of just doing anything. So I want to tell you the story about one of the wisest men who ever lived. His name was Solomon, and he was a king. And he is said to, in the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, this. He says, "This is what I have seen to be good. It is fitting to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun. For the few days of the life God gives us, for this is our lot. Likewise, all to whom God gives wealth and possessions, and whom he enables to enjoy them, and to accept their lot and find enjoyment in their toil. This is a gift of God." You see, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, what is it called? A gift from God. We have been blessed by God. And I want you to internalize it, and I want you to believe it, and I want you to know it, that, and I want you to let it soak down into your heart and know that you are genuinely blessed. I know some of you right now might be pushing back. You're thinking, "No, I'm not rich. You don't understand my life. You may be rich, but I'm not rich." But I want you to know you are rich. Let me give you a few statistics. This is a study that I did over called Mission Insight around this church, a 5-mile radius, just around our church. As of 2018, there were 91,429 people living in 42,898 households. 93% live above the poverty level. 93%. 7% live below the poverty level. And this is the group that we need to help. But among these people in our area, the median household income, I was surprised by this, $70,299. The top two reasons, though, that people in our area don't come to church or participate in religious activities, though, out of those 91,000 people, they believe two things. One, that religious people are too judgmental. And number two, that religion is focused on money. If money is at the top of your list, then a message on being rich and what matters most is a good one to delve into, I think, once a year. According to the United Nations, in 2018, an estimated 8.6% of the world's population lives in poverty. Yet nearly half the population in developing countries live on less than $1.90 a day. And the 2020 federal poverty guideline for the 48 contiguous states in the District of Columbia is $12,760 per person. And then it goes up. If you're two people, it's $17,240. And then another $4,000 or $5,000 for every additional individual. But according to the Gallup News, the median annual household income worldwide is $9,733. And the median per capita household income is $2,920. But yet in the United States, the median is $43,585, and the per capita is $15,480. So as you can see, if you actually live in the United States, you have a better chance that you're rich. And if you're hitting above those numbers, you're in the top 1% of wage earners in the world. You're in the top 1%. You're a one percenter, as they call it. In fact, if you earn over $1,225 a year, which is the global income average, I have just informed you that you are rich. And that's a perspective when you compare yourself to the rest of the world. In fact, if you earn over $80,000 a year, you're in the top 0.1% of the world. And you think, no, wait a minute, no, that guy Bill Gates and those other guys, that Amazon guy, and that, no, they're the billionaires. They're in the top 0.1%. But that's just to give you some perspective. How many people are out there that fall below that? Now, of course, I want to be sensitive right now to those who are facing medical bills and housing expenses that they didn't expect. And we are a group of people that, for the most part, live on limited incomes. And times may be tough. But as for the rest of us, if you work with me for a minute, you'll realize that you're rich. Because when you go home, you're probably driving in a car. You're probably going to a climate-controlled, air-conditioned home. You're going to upload pictures on Instagram or Facebook. You might even take a picture of the pepperoni pizza that you're going to have delivered to the house. You're going to do it on your mobile device that has an unlimited data plan. Are you still working with me here? When people from developing countries, when they're asked, what do rich people have? This is what they say. They say, people that are rich own cars. Some are so rich they have an extra car. Some are so rich that you're not going to believe it, but they have houses for their cars. They call them garages. They drive their cars into the garage to keep their cars safe from the weather. And some people are so rich that they have three car garages, one for his car, her car, and all the junk that won't fit in their house. Right? So how rich are they, say. How rich are these people? Well, they drive to places called restaurants, and they go in where they dip bread in oil, and they say that they serve three meals. They call those things appetizers, and, oh, the other one's the main course, and then they have another course called the dessert. They say these rich people are so rich, when they drive home, they go into their houses, and some of them even have small rooms that you can walk into where they keep their clothes. And yet they have his and her closets, some of them, you know, to match the his and her cars. And then they say things like, they have so many clothes, but they say, I've got nothing to wear. That's how rich they are. These are the things that people say rich people have. You see, our biggest problem is that we fall into these categories, and it's the fact that we don't even feel that we're rich that matters. And God says, command those rich people to be good at being rich. God wants us to be good at being rich in what matters most. And the challenge is that so many of us, we just don't know how to internalize that. So if we're going to be rich and being rich, what does that mean? What do we have to do first? Well, at first we have to just admit that we are. You have to admit, and you don't need to shout it out, and you don't have to say it, but maybe just under your breath to say, I'm rich. Are you ready? I'm going to say it. I'm rich. What are you? I'm rich. You're rich in what matters most. And so I remember when my son was little, he said to Mom, are we rich? And based on these kind of standards, the two cars and the garage and all, I said, yeah, we are, but honey, we don't talk about money. That's not something we tell people, so don't tell anybody we're rich. I remember saying that to my son. We don't talk about that. There's something in us, for some reason, that makes us sometimes feel ashamed, which is really odd. Because if you truly believe that everything comes from God, wouldn't we want to shout it from the mountains and not apologize for it? Think about it. You have a great marriage, But what do I hear people say? Oh, you two have a great marriage. And what does someone usually say? Oh, yeah, well, you should see what she's like at home. You know, or he never does what I want him to do. Just say, thank you. I've got a great marriage. Yes, you're absolutely right. Thank you. Oh, what about this one? When they say, I like your sweater. And then you don't say, oh, thank you. No, we say, oh, I got it on sale. Let me tell you where I got it. This is what women do all the time. Oh, it was great. It was a bargain. It was 50% off. And then they had another, I had a coupon. They can't just say thanks. I'm glad you like my sweater. That's true, right? And then if someone compliments our health, man, you're in great health. We don't say, wow, thank you, I'm in great shape. No, we usually say something like, oh, yeah, but you should see what I look like under this shirt. Flabby, 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 you know? we do that too. When you realize that everything we have is truly a blessing from God, there's no more apologizing. So if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. I want you to internalize it. I want you to memorize it this week. God has blessed me. I'm rich in what matters most. I'm going to say it again. God has blessed me. I'm rich in what matters most. You can turn to your neighbor. Don't touch him. And say to them, God bless me, I'm rich in what matters most, right? That's good news. That's really good news, right? Well, there's some bad news. There's always bad news. Yeah, the stock market's dropped, right? No, it's the fact that you're rich. Yep. In fact, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 20 to 21, Jesus encounters a rich man who said, hey, I want to follow you. How do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, obey all the commands. And the man said, well, I've done that. And Jesus looked at him and loved him and told him, you lack one thing. You need to go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. Now, it's really interesting to note that, and it's important to note that this is the only time that Jesus said this, and Jesus is not, and God is not opposed to us having nice things. You can see it all through Scripture where God is continually blessing individuals and giving them wonderful kingdoms and property and the promised land. So we're not saying that God doesn't give things or expects you to have things. Yet God does not want these things, though, to take a hold of your heart to where you love money more than you love the person next to you. And this man was so wealthy to the point that he couldn't give up the stuff that he keeps in the garage. That three-car garage. He couldn't give it up because his heart wasn't there. So what Jesus is wanting us to say, and the bad news really isn't bad as long as you remember that we all have a great wealth of some kind. Whether it's the gifts that we have to give to other people, of our time and our talent and our service and our witness, these are the things that make us who we are as Christians. And this is what Jesus then says, it's easier for a camel, you know how big a camel is, right? The big humpy, humpy, big camels, to get through the eye of a needle. That it is for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. That's in Mark 10, verse 26. So the good news is you're rich, and the bad news is you're rich. And it's a tremendous spiritual disadvantage to so many of us. So I just want to share a few more things. It's really hard for us to sometimes depend on God. It's hard to depend on God, and it's a tremendous spiritual disadvantage when we don't. Our wealth distracts us sometimes from our priorities. But wealth that we have can be a blessing. But yet it distracts us from the priorities we have in our life. And then we also need to understand that we have a great responsibility. That God is giving us, as Luke 12 says, for everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. You see, the more we have, the more we give. The more we're being asked this, to do this as Christians. We as the church, we know that we are going to have to do more. And we're going to have to invest in this community that surrounds us, to the 7%. You know, we were thinking this just talking in the back of the church. We said, well, we don't know if we should do our free community breakfast, because how are we going to get next week, next Saturday, people here and the cleaning part? And then we're like, well, how could we do this? And we were trying to brainstorm ideas, just standing in the back of the church. Well, maybe we can give them to go and plates and do it outside. And I mean, we still want to do all the things we need to do. But how do we do it, and how do we do it better than the rest? Jesus Christ says they sure do live what they claim, when he's talking about Christians. We sure do live what we claim. And though that kind of love and that kind of generosity, through all of that, I believe that we're going to have people out there who are going to know us as Christians because of what we do. And how we care about one another. So this week I invite you to pick up the phone, call someone that you may not know, and just check in with them. I think that's the good Christian thing to do. I've asked the people in our care team, I said, try to avoid going to out to visit people. And then, of course, our governor says, you know, you're not going to really be allowed to go into many of these healthcare facilities, but yet they're laying there and they're alone and they're afraid. But maybe just calling, sending, you know, if you know that they do social media, just get in touch with people that way. God says, command those who are rich in this present world. Command them to be generous in good deeds and willing to share. And when we do, we will gain treasure in heaven and experience life that is truly giving. We are going to be good at being rich because God blessed us with more than we need. And we will be rich in what matters most, by caring for our neighbors. And we're going to be rich, and we may be challenged right now, but we are going to continuously give of our time and our talents and our service and our witness to others. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the presence of these individuals here this morning and those who will be listening, who are at home. Lord, we bless them and we bless this congregation here today. Thank you for the many blessings that you put in our life. God, I pray that since you expect more from us, that we will do beyond even what we think we are capable of doing, especially right now. That we can be rich in a way that brings glory to you and helps people to know Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to ask God, I want to be rich in what matters most. And I pray God continues to bless you. We pray that God blesses us in the things that truly matter. And God, I pray that this world in which we live, the significance of all that is around us, that Lord, you will shift our hearts from wanting and craving and desiring more to actually doing more with what we've already been blessed with. God, I pray that we will be a church full of people that are good at being generous and doing good and making a difference and serving you and honoring you with our lives, sharing others how to recognize the significant responsibility that we have towards one another in a way that honors you. Lord, keep our families, our friends, our fellow neighbors all over the world safe and heal them. Keep us healthy, and may all of us recognize the blessings that are before us and thank you. I say all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a creed that is part of the orthodox of the church. It's the Apostles' Creed. Let's say this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you would now please stand for our closing hymn. I stand amazed in his presence. I didn't realize there are that many verses. Good job. Thank you all for being here this morning. God bless each and every one of you. Let's just take one moment, though, before we leave and just lift up the names of those people who are in our hearts and in our minds right now. We lift up the people in China and in Italy and around the world, Lord, who are in need of your blessing. We lift up those in our congregation who are ill and who are sick and are concerned but don't know what to do. We lift up our family members who are stranded in various places around the world. We lift up our children who are in colleges and those who aren't able to go to school, to keep those kids safe and to keep them busy. Lord God, we lift all these people here today. Keep us all able to be part of a community and to be able to bless others around us. Keep us safe so that we can continue to do the work that you have called us all to do. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless y'all. Thanks.